You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Corey, what's popping, man?
What's the deal with you? Hour number three of the radio program, so happy to be here today. It's snowing outside. Well, it was when I came out the crib this morning. I was like, oh my God, there's snow on the ground. It's still coming down?
Oh. It was an hour ago.
Oh, that's not good. It's Hamilton weekend. We don't need
get that bag out.
Oh, God, it's going to be rough. We don't need no... I already have orders arriving to my crib. Like, really, check the mail. This is going to be coming to your house. And I'm like, yikes. So,
I had so many ways to go there.
Well, it's nothing bad.
No.
Well, hey,
Matt. Do you?
We could have.
What do you?
Thank God, Greg stepped in.
What do you guys think, Matt, of the crazy people that had these tattoos? Right, there's a dude that just posted on Twitter. He's wearing a backwards TB12 hat on his right arm. He's got like a TB12 tattoo in blue and red. He's got number 34. I don't know who number 34 is, but he got number 34 tattoo. Then on his back, he indicated all the Super Bowls in New Roman numerals that they have won, and of course that includes this year already because he's an idiot. But it was with people.
I don't have a problem with that. It's
really?
On his back or something. You know.
Why?
The Roman numerals, it could have been worse. He could have had him on his neck or something like that.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, but at least he's doing it not where something like, say, it's on his forearm or something. Or,
I don't know.
It could have been much more egregious. I was expecting to see
egregious.
Something really stupid.
Okay. Here. I don't know. This is crazy to me, especially they haven't won yet.
I'm not a fan of that type of stuff. I'm not a fan of the New England Patriots.
Like, Dallas wins the Super Bowl. Are you going to get a tattoo of it?
No, I'm not.
I'll be honest with you. If the Bills win, like, the next four Super Bowls in a row, I'll probably do something stupid like that.
Okay. If they won four, what if they won one?
You know what? I may have to. Just put a bill with the Super Bowl 53 or something like that. The XL, whatever the hell the Roman numerals go there.
So, all right.
It's bringing up some painful memories.
I'm sorry.
But did you see this blurb that just popped up on Roto-World Football?
I am not on Roto-World Football, so no.
Andrew Luck, very close to throwing again.
Well, yeah, so I read it earlier this morning. Andrew Luck paired up with the top two, like Tom House, who works with every quarterback, and Adam Devereaux, who works with every quarterback. They're teaming up to try to help Andrew Luck throw.
Yeah, well, Tom House is excellent. I mean, he's done wonders for pitchers in baseball as well, and he's cutting edge, as they say.
Yeah.
You went out to France and got the blood spin. Is France or Europe? Someplace
like
Europe.
I think it's Germany, I wanted to say.
Oh, they do it out. That's what they spend the blood at?
He got the Lance treatment.
The TB12.
And Kobe, right? Kobe did that.
Yeah,
too.
Kobe got his blood spun out that joint, too. And Odell, did Odell go out there?
No, he didn't. He went to Arizona. Well,
I know they spend blood out there, too.
They do something in Arizona.
I told you I saw a picture of Odell on New Year's Eve. He had a Fendi walking boot.
We take a break. When we come back on the program, a bunch of baseball headlines that I want to get to with Matt and Corey. Stick around. There wasn't only one trade yesterday. There's another in baseball. And it's a biggie!
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Me. I don't think that's me.
That's over here. That was weird.
Yeah. Everybody hear that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody.
All right, cool.
That was weird.
Well, we're back. Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Network. interesting conversations in the break.
Nope.
I'll just say my mom loved you guys.
Thank you.
Nope. Before we get to the baseball news, a couple of football notes. Robbie Anderson pled not guilty.
She should have pled not smart.
There you go. The new defensive line coach in Carolina is former Michigan head coach, Brady Hoke.
Look at that.
Brady Hoke, first NFL job.
Shout out to Brady Hoke.
Known for, anybody?
Ruining Michigan?
Recruiting Tom Brady to Michigan.
Oh, that's right.
Recruited Tom Brady to Michigan. The GOAT indeed. Joe Thomas says he may be done for good.
I don't think so,
but I mean, I don't blame these players nowadays. At a certain point, especially in the NFL, I mean, you want to have life after football. You can get, you can get gigs in studios and stuff like that. I understand you do want to play and the love of the game and all that. Cleveland can kind of crush that for you, all things being equal, but I think he latches on. I just don't think he goes back to Cleveland, but, you know.
He's got one more year in Cleveland. He says he will not re-sign with Cleveland after that. We'll see if he signs with anyone after that. He's done a lot of media this year after getting injured and missing his first snaps of his career. Certainly setting himself up for that. Well-spoken dude. I like Joe Thomas. We'll see what happens.
I'm a Joe Thomas guy.
I like Joe Thomas a lot.
Not really anything not to like.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. Okay, continuing on with a couple of NFL news notes. Mike McCoy expects Larry Fitzgerald to be back, or he hopes.
Yeah, he hopes so. Who you said? Mike McCoy.
Yes, offensive coordinator, Arizona.
That's right, he got that gig. Mm-hmm. Listen, no, and I think that's a good hire for them. They just got to get a quarterback. The quarterback situation is very important to what they do. And, they don't have Haley. They got McCoy. So you bring in the right quarterback, you'll get it's a good chance you'll have Larry Fitzgerald for another season.
It's all down to. He was asked yesterday if he's figured it out yet. He goes, I'm playing golf today, man. That's not the only thing on my mind.
I think he's coming back. He already signed that contract. I know that doesn't mean anything, but I think he has the mindset of playing another year, and hopefully they get a good quarterback in there.
Absolutely. Allen Robinson, 24 years old, says he's feeling good. He's working his way back, and he's going to be good.
Clean ACL tear should be no problem. So Allen Robinson is probably walking regular, running regular now.
Yeah,
so
he should be.
He should be by at this point. And he should be looking forward to a franchise tag in his near future.
I want to see if he leaves Jacksonville. I would like that'd be curious to see where he goes.
Gucci.
I also want to see his price coming off the injury and stuff.
Definitely.
That's going to be interesting. He's a guy that I can see having a good bounce back off this injury.
I very much agree
with that. In the right situation.
Where's he going, draft score?
Oh boy. Do we know where he's at? Is he a Jacksonville? As a Jacksonville Jaguar, he is probably somewhere in the middle of round four, probably somewhere around Dez Bryant.
Who'd you rather have?
Wow. He's a Jacksonville Jaguar. Dez is in Dallas. I'll go Dez.
I'll go Allen Robinson. I think Corey's right about the fourth, but I think some people will take the shot on him in the third, that second half, late third. Yeah.
They'd rather have Allen Robinson also. They'd rather have Allen Robinson.
Who's Allen Robinson quarterback?
Man who had wrist surgery yesterday.
I think he's been shown to make good bad quarterbacks.
It's Blake Bortles,
good.
By the way. Blake Bortles had wrist surgery yesterday. That's the thing.
It's a fact.
It's a Blake Bortles fact.
We were robbed of Blake Bortles facts.
Oh, I wish we had 2 weeks of them. I really, really do. Okay. Let's start with some baseball stuff now. In the second round of the Roto Experts mock draft, which we'll go over at some point.
Cold in here.
It's very comfortable in here.
I don't know what it is.
I bet you're comfortable.
This thing right here is cold. This thing is blowing on us. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but you know.
It used to be much colder in here.
It used to be days where we killed a fish.
Yeah,
we killed a fish.
Rest in peace, Ted.
Rest in peace.
My second round pick in this one, I think I'm drafting in the 10th spot, so it's 15 teamer. Back around.
So 2021, something like that.
Whatever that was. Let's see here. Let's see if I can even have it up. I think I X'd it out. I drafted Freddie Freeman.
I like that.
Freddie Freeman.
That's good first base, dude.
So he's first base and third base eligible now because he played those games in third base for Matt Adams when he came back.
That's wonderful.
It depends on the league setting. Because he didn't play 20 games at first.
No, he did not. Oh, at first he did, sure.
I mean, I'm sorry, third. At third. My apologies.
Yep.
No, so, like, in the NFBC, he's not first and third base eligible.
Okay.
He just missed it. But I would assume like Yahoo, ESPN.
Yeah, he's going to be. He played 16 games at third. So in a lot of formats, he's going to be. 16 games is a fair amount from
his it is. And that would, you know, that. Look, I like Freddie Freeman regardless if he's just first base eligible.
Of course.
I think he's a tremendous hitter.
Yep.
I think in that park. I know it's still some construction behind the park, so things might change a little. But that park has played very well for left-handed hitters. If you're a left, and I think he's one of the better hitters, so you just add that to the mix, and I don't see what there isn't to like. Maybe just staying healthy.
Freeman, 28 years old still, which I think is crazy.
Wow.
Wow. 28.
He's still got a lot of good baseball left in him. That's a good pick, Greg. Too bad that league don't play out.
Yeah, second round. I've had this discussion
before. Is this you solo? Or
I mean, just me.
You can get one.
This is just me.
You can get him in another league, so you don't need to have him in this one.
Sure. But Freddie Freeman, I think I've had a conversation with you, so I want to ask you that, Corey. Would you rather have Freddie Freeman or Anthony Rizzo?
That's a tough call right there.
I don't know who I'd take. I don't know if we had this conversation.
We didn't have this conversation? Oh, we did.
Well, ask Matt first.
Okay.
I'd go Freddie Freeman.
Okay. That's what I thought you said.
Okay.
That's what I thought you said. You were a Freddie Freeman guy.
And I do like Anthony Rizzo. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Matt?
I just think he's going to hit. He can hit for higher average. I think the power is not that far behind, especially with the way that SunTrust Park played in its opening year. You know, he's in that same spot in the lineup. I think, all things considered, he's a guy that could be 30-100. Anthony Rizzo, 30-100. I think he's got better average. And as far as, like, stolen bases, I don't think Anthony Rizzo is a double-digit stolen base guy. I think they pretty much end up at the same amount.
Would you have Joey Votto ahead of both of them?
Joey Votto, I still have to. I know he's getting, it's another year older and stuff, but
yeah.
He's Joey Votto. Until Joey Votto doesn't do it or really takes a step back, I got to go Joey Votto.
How would you rank those three, Corey? Joey Votto, Anthony Rizzo, and Freddie Freeman.
Freeman, Rizzo, Votto.
You have Votto last?
Yeah.
Interesting. How come you have him last?
He has the least amount of power.
Not anymore. He's changed his swing.
I would agree that he does have the least amount of power. Like, if I had a bet on who's going to hit...
36 homers last year.
That was last year. If I got to project Joey Votto, I'm going to project him to finish... Third in power amongst those three. I mean, the average, he's going to clearly be the
first,
top guy.
Yeah.
But you look at Freddie Freeman, what he was doing last year before that injury.
He was getting ready to break
out.
If
there were people that, I mean, I heard people saying, and they're considered smart people in the industry, I'm not going to call people out, but like, maybe he hits 280. And I was just like, how can you come on and say that? But, you know, unfortunately, he did get injured. So
454 OBP for Joey
Votto. What are you talking about, Matt?
He's Freddie Freeman. That was good, right?
That was good. That was good.
How about this? Joey Votto and Freddie Freeman, their birthdays are within 2 days of each other.
Same year?
No.
No, Joey Votto's older.
I mean, look what Freddie Freeman did in 117 games.
Sure.
500, just over 500 plate at bats, excuse me. So, I mean, and look, he stole 8 bases. The year before, he stole 6 bases. So, you know, something around that range is what he's probably going to do. So, and that park. If it plays like it played last year, I don't see what's not to like.
Votto will be his age 34 year. He turns 35 in September, which is the thing that scares a lot of people off, I think.
Yeah, no, you always got to have concern as guys get another year older. It's just, he's that good. He's that far and above.
But you know what's crazy? We were talking about these long-term contracts and how they're going to go away. Joey Votto is signed until 2023. 2023. That's 5 years away.
See, the difference here is you got to sign, like, do it when they're 25, 27. Don't do it when they get to 30, 31. And that's not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen. As we see the front offices get more smarter and go more, you know, if you want to use sabermetrics, whatever term you want to use, I don't see that happening. And what I'm going to be curious next year is, what does Clayton Kershaw get as a free agent? If say the Dodgers don't lock him up before this year, that's what I really want to see. What a 31-year-old Clayton Kershaw
with a history of some back issues too.
Yeah, no, I mean,
really interesting.
If he never had these back issues, I could see him, you know, getting overpaid, especially by the Dodgers or some other team.
Excellent.
But coming
no
off these consecutive seasons of that's what I'm really curious.
Well, we'll say this. Max Scherzer got what?
Max Scherzer got like 210 or 14. And some of it was deferred.
Max got 210. 7 years, 210.
But he was like 28 at the time?
He signed in 2015. He was 31. He was 31 at the time.
How old
is he? He's 33 right now. So very similar. I guarantee you, Clayton Kershaw is going to want 7 for 211. There's your number right there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More on the way here on Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Matty Mo getting into it this morning here on Roto Experts Fantasy Sports.
I don't know, the last couple days I've been supercharged.
Supercharged up. Is that because the end of smoking is Sunday?
It's coming, yeah, that's coming. My mom was yelling at me last night. You gotta get in shape. I wanna be poolside when I'm in Vegas.
And
I'm at the Cosmopolitan, so you know.
I gotta
do something.
You got a lot of lookers there.
Break my jaw, maybe.
Well. Okay. So, Freddie Freeman had that wrist. You know, wrist feels great after last year. And I'm always very wary of players coming back from wrist injuries. He came back, looked good the second half of the year. I'm in on Freddie Freeman. That's why I drafted him in the second round. His teammate, Ronald Acuña.
Not Ronald Acuña.
No. Ronald Acuña.
Played for the Braves? I didn't know that.
He's a top prospect in baseball.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's why I didn't know that.
Who plays for the Braves? Realizes that because of contractual obligations, he may start the year in the minors. He, Matt, has come out and said this. That, listen, I understand because of reasons out of my control that I may have to spend a week, two, a month in the minors, and I get it.
Yeah, and this should be public knowledge, and it's just the way it's set up currently with the CBA and stuff. For the Braves not to keep him down for whatever it is, 12 days, whatever that number of days there, to get an extra year of control would be foolish. Let's just be honest here. He's coming up. He's a guy that I'm buying the hype onto. I'm in. I've taken him in the end of the seventh round. I can only imagine what happens in the middle of March when we go live, where he's going to go. For me, honestly, though, in these drafts, after the fifth round, like, I draw my line at, like, Will Myers. After, like, Will Myers, it's like the wild, wild west for me.
Sure.
I really don't care about ADP. I mean, it's nice to have an idea of where guys are going. But there isn't that much separation. I'd rather just get my guys. And I think Acuña is a guy that's worth this shot. Because even if the average isn't there, he has power. You can't deny the power. And he's got speed. So when you add that speed, if he steals your 20-plus bases and hits, you know, 15 home runs, it's going to be hard for him not to succeed, not to earn you like $15 or something like that.
But again, the question will remain, when will he come up?
Yeah, even if he misses, say he misses the month of April, say May 1st is the day.
Sure.
For me, it's still worth the gamble because we are seeing what these players can do, and baseball's getting younger and younger. I watch them in the Arizona Fall League. I'm not a scout and stuff like that. I'm not one of these prospect guys. But you can see this is a kid that he seemed like bored, didn't want to be there, and he was still head and shoulders better than anyone else there. So, and the Braves, this is year two of that stadium. The Braves want him up there. They want people to come out. He's a guy that people will go out to see. So you got to also keep that in mind. He's not going to be gone. I think it's going to be whatever that minimum is, it's going to be more towards that.
All right, fair enough. Hey, I just read this tweet, Corey, as I stop the baseball for 1 second.
Yep.
From your boy Adam Schefter.
What did he tweet?
Back in 2008, the Dallas wide receiving crew was Terrell Owens, Roy Williams, Patrick Creighton,
yep,
Miles Austin.
Great job.
Your boy Sam Hurd.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut Danny Amendola.
Oh, wow, look at that. They cut Danny Amendola. Yeah. Danny Amendola's still out there now getting it done. Yeah. Sam Hurd got like a federal drug charge, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sam Hurd was trapping and in the NFL at the same time. It's crazy.
Doesn't make sense.
Some of the stuff you hear is just like...
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I got a 20 sack. Like, you play football, dog.
Yeah, it's like working for the bank and like putting some hundreds in your bag on the way home.
As you heard from Scotty toward the end of the Fantasy Sports Today, Jose Abreu, and he made this very, very clear, Avasail!
Avasail!
That's right, it's pronounced Avasail!
He is correct.
Avasail
Garcia, who Corey knew on Friday, just couldn't get it out.
He had the highest bad bill.
That's right. Avasail.
Yeah, I had a piss poor day Friday.
Wasn't your best.
All around.
Wasn't
really
your best performance. Avasail
really
Garcia.
I apologize.
According to Rick Hahn, their general manager, both expected to open the season with Chicago.
Yeah, for some reason they're looking to move. I know they're making a youth movement, but how old is Avasail? Seriously, he's been known as the baby Miggy. He's had that tag. He has a good year last year. Okay, BABIP. Did he lead MLB in BABIP?
He certainly did.
It's okay. He in Avasail in Santo Domingo is 27. In Chicago, USC, yeah. He's 39.
Yeah. In Chicago years, it's like dog years.
He's 26 in real life. He turned 27 this year. He is not from Santo Domingo. He's from Venezuela.
Oh, okay. So then he's good.
Anyway, what is the fantasy value for both Jose Abreu and Avasail Garcia?
I mean, for me, Jose, I have to think, it makes too much sense for Abreu to go to the Red Sox.
Right.
He can play first base for them right now.
Unless they sign Eric Hosmer, potentially.
Even if they sign Hosmer, make him the DH or whatever. I don't think Hosmer's going there.
Okay.
But... let's just stay on Abreu. He goes to the Red Sox. He can be that DH for the next few years to come, like that bat that they had with Ortiz. But even say he doesn't, the guy hasn't been on good teams pretty much the last few years that he's played, and he's consistently get it done. I will pound this point home. Over the last 4 years, the only player to have multiple seasons with both a 300 batting average and 30 home runs. So just think about that. Everybody's hitting 30 home runs now. And he's the only player to do it multiple times in the last 4 years. You hope for some of his counting stats that he does get traded. But if not, I'm still going to take this guy in the second half of the third round.
Okay.
Especially when first baseman start going off the board. I know everybody's in love with Rhys Hoskins. And I'll be honest with you. Dave Potts, the man I call the machine, is making me rethink my hot. I don't dislike Hoskins. I don't hate him. I just think the love might be a little too much, but when I see a guy like that, it's making me rethink my thoughts. I got to do a whole review of my Rhys Hoskins projections and stuff. But, Abreu, I love, and who's the other guy?
Avasail!
Avasail, I don't have him on any teams, to be honest with you. He's not one of my target guys. So, I mean, I think there's going to be some... I think he can still be good, but I think you're going to get some pullback. I mean, when you lead the league in BABIP, it's not like this is one of these rabbits that, you
right.
know...
D. So, Gordon or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Not at all. Right now, FSTA, Garcia, just for the record, went in the middle of the 15th round.
Yeah, let me pull up his... I'm going to pull up his ADP. So I'm just curious to see where the hell he's going.
Sure.
Give me a minute. Somebody say something.
Somebody say something. Okay. Say it. So, Avasail Garcia, Jose Abreu, both expected to stick in Chicago. For now, with the rate of free agency slowing down, nobody really wanting the outfielders or a big-time first baseman. We'll have to wait and see on that.
Could happen closer to the trade deadline.
Yeah,
so
in
be some,
July.
A mid-season move. But Matt's been talking up Jose Abreu and where his ADP is at, and I think that's one of the best values on the board. So it's going to be interesting to see how drafts play out. I'm going to start my first draft probably on Tuesday.
Nice. Training day.
Hey, that's when the season starts.
He's going to have a bag of avocados and his computer.
That's when the season starts, right?
That's when the season starts for me.
Season
will end after Tout Wars.
After Tout Wars draft.
After
I made that clear.
Wars draft.
It's just a draft.
Not the auction, the draft.
The draft. He's not doing the auction.
I'm not doing the auction. Confusing. I'll have to turn it
down. Oh, here it is. He's taking. Where do you think Avasail?
Get it right, please.
Avasail Garcia is going off the board.
All right. As I said in FSTA, he went in the middle of the 15th round. Said that. Yeah, it makes sense. I'll say middle of the 15th round.
Okay, he's the 100 and he's got an ADP of 193. He is sandwiched in between Adam Duvall and Kyle Schwarber as far as outfielders go.
So that's towards the end of the 12th, right?
I'd rather have him than Duvall, but I think I'd rather gamble on Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah. Who were we talking about yesterday that's like in like the 220s? Or like, why is this guy getting drafted in the 220s?
Oh, pitcher, Aaron Sanchez?
Aaron Sanchez.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because the guy's coming.
It's not like blisters,
Aaron,
though.
But it's not like Aaron Sanchez had he had that one good season. He doesn't have a ton of swing and miss to his game. He has a lot to like about his game, but so I think that's where people, and he's still in the American League East. So, I mean, I do get that there. I do think Kyle Schwarber this year, I have him on a couple of teams. I do want to get some more shares of him as well. I think he's a better hitter than what he showed last year. I'm not saying he's ever going to bat 310 or something, but if he batted 270, I'm not going to be shocked. And the power is real. So if he bats 267 and hits 40-plus home runs, that's a really good season.
There you go. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Yes, Corey?
I'm adding some stuff up. It's that time of the month. But to add stuff up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So I'm doing some adding.
The Yankees made a signing yesterday. They signed former National infielder Danny Espinosa to a minor league deal. Listen, they don't have a starting second baseman or starting third baseman as they wait for the kids to get ready.
He's a placeholder for just an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Look, he can
utility.
Exactly. Corey said it perfectly.
Absolutely.
He'll have a good week or two. He'll hit like 5 home runs, but he's going to bat like 190, strike out 33% of the time. That's Danny Espinosa.
That's Danny Espinosa, 100%. But he's a great fielder, which is why he's had a job as long as he has. Perfect placeholder. You can see him filling a utility hole, as Corey mentioned, for the Yankees here this year. Final piece of baseball headlines from yesterday. As I said, along with the Blake Griffin trade, there was another trade that took place yesterday. And this was in the MLB as Jesse Hahn was traded away by the Oakland Athletics in exchange for Brandon Moss and Ryan Buchter.
Jesse Hahn's arm still has not fallen off. I keep waiting for it to like explode.
Hasn't happened yet.
No, it hasn't happened. Brandon Moss going back to Oakland. So
I was going to say, how many times has Brandon Moss been in Oakland?
Yeah, I guess Billy Bean really likes him.
I guess so. Brandon Moss heads back to Oakland, where he's not even expected to be kept. He's actually expected to be bought out. Ryan Buchter, the prize here. Big time throwing arm. Obviously came over from San Diego a couple of years ago. And then Jesse Hahn, maybe get a chance in that Royals rotation. Jesse Hahn's one of these guys I have it every year at some point, and I'm sure at some point I will.
2 weeks later or something.
Exactly. More baseball right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Smashing Pumpkins for you.
Let me hear it. Let me check it out.
Too slow for me.
Smashing Pumpkins, man. 1979.
He's very big in Chicago, the Billy Corgan.
Smashing Pumpkins on?
Is Billy Corgan?
Yeah, I don't know if he's originally from there, but he is. When I lived there for, my time in Chicago.
Sure.
My wife did some
he is from he's from Elk Grove Village. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, outside Chicago. Nice call. Look at that. Knows his Chicago musicians.
I go for a Chicago dog or a little Italian beef right now. I'm getting really hungry.
You got to tell. Why don't you just go for some deep dish today?
You know what? Deep dish is good. I just can't eat it all the time.
You'll literally die.
It's like eating a steak by the time you're done with it.
I love steak. Okay. On this day in history. In 1971, UCLA began their 88-game winning streak.
Oh, look at that. 1971. Head coach by...
John Wooden.
There you go, the great one.
The great one, indeed.
Indeed.
In 1994.
Who took him down? Digger, right?
Was it, Digger? Was Digger Phelps?
It was Notre Dame, right?
I don't remember. Notre Dame,
that
was
a streak.
So it's probably Digger.
I'm pretty sure it was Digger.
How about that?
With the kiss.
That's Bill Rafter, eh?
Wrong person. Bill Rafter is one of the best broadcasters in the business. I love Bill Rafter.
Absolutely.
Love him.
He's the best.
Mm-hmm.
In 1994, the Dallas Cowboys beat the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
And your MVP was?
In 1994, the MVP was Troy Aikman.
It was not.
It was a defensive player?
It was not.
If it wasn't Troy Aikman, it was Emmitt Smith.
It was Emmitt Smith.
1994?
Yes.
That was in Georgia Dome.
I don't know.
I think that's the one where Thurman Thomas lost his helmet at the halftime.
That's the Georgia
Dome.
That's the one Emmitt Smith was the MVP.
It was a close game.
Emmitt Smith got
the
ball.
Half.
Yeah, that's the one. Emmitt Smith got the ball 8 times to start the second half.
That was the year I stopped having a Super Bowl party. Super Bowl party ended that year.
Yeah.
Watched the bowl with my pops.
That was very nice. What did your pops do with this year's Super Bowl?
He was watching it in his own crib.
Exclusive.
Yeah, who knows where I'll be on Sunday when the Super Bowl is on.
He'll be hanging out at the Hamilton.
It's Hamilton weekend. I might be with the cast. Like
it's Hamilton weekend.
Fantasy Jets Broadway debut.
I'm excited for Monday. I'll tell you that much.
Monday should be fun.
Monday will be fun.
I will be here on Monday. I got to go to Newark. I got to be at Newark Airport at like 5 o'clock. But I will be here.
So you all right? So you got to be in it.
Come right back into the city.
You'll probably be here early.
Yeah, I'll be here early. It's going to be a wild one.
I should have to write a rundown for Monday. All right, 1957, Payne Stewart was born. Payne Stewart, legendary golfer who died in that plane crash. That's kind of it actually for this day in history.
Taping 3 under par today.
Yeah, what's going on 3 under par today?
Getting ready for the Waste Management Open.
Okay.
You'll have a lineup for me tomorrow?
I have a lineup for you tomorrow. So
what do we need to know?
Huh?
What do we need to know?
This is it's at Torrey Pines.
Okay.
So it's at Torrey Pines.
Sure.
Out there in Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Scottsdale.
So being that it's Waste Management Open, would you be picking an Italian player to win this?
Francisco Molinari. I don't know. Is it a dude named Francisco Molinari?
There is, yes.
That's got a pretty good shot this
He's
week.
He's got a brother that plays as well.
Mm-hmm. The Waste Management Open. So it's interesting. Obviously, Hideki Matsuyama has won at this course in back-to-back years, and he's also was runner-up 3 years ago, so he does well here. He's what you would call a course horse. Look at that. Pat Mayo. Eat your heart out, Mayo.
Mayo's, for the record, Mayo posted his golf stuff, and he's at the Super Bowl, it was an opening night last night.
Wonderful.
You need the update on Pat Mayo. You got to get a telephone call.
This is interesting. This number calls every day, and I never get the answer to see who it is.
Well, yeah, because you're always working.
I know. And they never. When I call back, it's never like it just rings and nobody answers
it. It's probably a telemarketer.
Probably it is.
So,
but the number looks very familiar.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah,
that's the new thing. I block it too. Yeah. So that's the new thing.
Because I'm like, who is this
dude on the air?
What they try to do.
What they try to do
is kind of get close to your number.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's probably close to your
number.
It's right?
Very close to my number.
Like just the two numbers off.
Yeah. So there you go. Good thinking, Greg.
There you go. That's kind of how it works. I know that. That was actually today in history. Matt, there's a couple of baseball players I wanted to ask you about. I'm not going to do them all today. I'm going to save some for tomorrow. But one of the guys I did want to ask you about was Travis Shaw. Because we talked a lot about Milwaukee yesterday on the show with Jimmy Nelson, with Ryan Braun, with the outfielders and the glut there. We talked about Johnny VR a little bit earlier on with Scotty. But one name we haven't really talked about all that much, really two names really, are Eric Thames and Travis Shaw. Let me start with Shaw and then I'll get to Thames. Travis Shaw, third baseman, had a really good year last year.
No, he did.
And I remember last April sitting right there in Corey's seat and being like, this dude hits a home run every day. And when it was all said and done, the numbers were final. Batted 273, 31 homers, 10 stolen bases, over 100 ribbies, 84 runs scored in 144 games as a starting third baseman for Milwaukee. That is an excellent season.
No, it's an excellent season. He's a top 100 player. Yeah, the thing here you got to like about his plate discipline, too. He strikes out like just over 20%.
Yep, 22.8% of the time.
So is that a guy that's got, you know, power and is striking out 30% of the time? He walks about 10% of the time. It's in a perfect ballpark. So that you do have to like here. I just always have a problem, like, guys that I had. And another thing, left-handed power in Miller Park is always nice to have. It really is. But guys that I get the previous year at a really good price, I hate paying up for them. So maybe that's what I've been a little stubborn on. But if you miss out on that first batch of first baseman and stuff, or corner guys, he's a guy that I'm going to want. For the bat, he's going to run a bit too, because his team, we know, just runs. But the fly ball percentage, the hard hit percentage, other things to like here with this player.
Up from 33.3% in Boston 2016 to 37% with Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Home run to fly ball ratio doubled from Boston to Milwaukee, 10% to over 20% here.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be hard to sustain, over 20% when you look at that. I mean, maybe he has a little pullback, but this should still be... It's a really good team. And when you got a couple of guys like Kane and Yelich now at the top, Braun, when healthy, needs to be batting third. So you put him in the cleanup spot, how is he not going to drive in runs and stuff?
Is there a concern, though, Matt, that he batted .299 in the first half, just .242 in the second?
No, I think you do have to have some concerns about the average. That's why, like I said, you were getting him late last year. And I got in on it. And it was a very good profit. I just have a problem paying up that next year. Right now, with just Travis Shaw, and like you say, you're going to look at the average. What is your expectation on an average for him?
Sure.
It's definitely not 92 for me. I'll
no,
tell you that right
it
now.
Can't be. Right? So, it can't be.
You know, I think it would be more. I'm curious to see what they have here. Steamer has him at 250. I think he's more maybe like, you know, 260, that 270 range. I don't think he's more than a 270 hitter though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, which is fine. If he's gonna drive in 100 runs, which I gotta think with the top of that lineup, is a very good possibility here, and hit anywhere from 25 to 30 home runs.
Your Steamer projections here: 26 home runs, 70 runs scored, 81 RBI, 5 stolen bases, batting .250 to .324 OBP.
Yeah, I think the counting, the runs and the RBI are a bit low here. I mean, it's Steamer. They're going to be conservative, too. They are, you know, one of the best projection things. But I don't get it. Especially left-handed power in Miller Park, even with that home run to fly ball, I'm going to scale back a couple of home runs from him. That I'll definitely do. Maybe I give him another 10 points to the average here. But I do think he can drive 100 runs in again.
The across the diamond from him. Where you say he's top 100 player? Where would you draft him? For you personally?
Personally, I mean, for me, I could take him. I guess where he's going is fine. I would like to get, say, like a Will Myers or something like that.
Okay.
Ahead of him. Okay. Like I said, Will Myers to me is kind of like my break point. After that, I can go any way I want.
Right.
If I go hitter, I'm usually scooping up pitchers in that range.
Okay.
Because I have to get, right. You know, because especially in leagues where you can't trade, you got to build those arms up. And when you start reaching, if I'm taking a guy like a Luis Castillo, who I really like a lot, he's no sure thing, though. You know, even though he pitched 170 innings combined, it's only 90 innings on the major league level, whatever I like. And if I have Garrett Cole, as high as I am on Garrett Cole, there is still some concern there as well. So where he's going, I think, is fine.
Okay.
I don't have any shares of him yet. I might have a share or two. I'm not going to have a lot.
Okay. Across the diamond from him is first baseman Eric Thames. You ended his career last year, Corey.
Yeah, no, he was. He jumped out there to get that nice hot start going. He had propelled Team Adam Ronis towards the top of the standings. And I felt as if he needed to be slowed down.
And you did.
So I put a little mojo on him to tighten up his hamstring. And it worked, and he wasn't the same player afterwards. I'm glad I had no shears.
Last year, Eric Thames, the first half of the season, batted .248. Second half, batted .246. Problem was the power that was there in the first half. 23 homers in the first half, just 8 in half, number 2. Against righties, 265 against righties, 25 homers against lefties, just 182.
I mean, here's the thing with Thames. I think he can get moved to the American League. I think that's a perfect spot for him. But, you know, the contract is very amicable. and they got so many pieces now. Somebody, you know, maybe we won. Two or three people get moved in this Milwaukee team.
Probably potentially so.
But where he goes, I like him.
There's a lot of moves to be made. Where is he going right now?
I'd say like that 12th, 13th round range. And he's got first base outfield eligibility.
FSTA draft, he went at the very beginning of that of that 13th round.
That sounds about right. 15 teamers going in the 12th. So, yeah.
So that sounds about right to you. Eric Thames, a source of power. Average is bad. Very well could sit against lefties. So got to be careful there with Eric Thames. Take a break. We'll come back. A little announcement here that we just saw. So we'll break that down for you with the Olin Kid when we come back next on Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Final five of the program on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Rock and rolling with you here on a Tuesday. And right now we are joined by the host of On Target, the All-In Kid, Jake Sue. What's going on, Jakey?
What's going on, Greg?
Not much, man. Heard you with Carton yesterday. That was fun.
Yeah, it was interesting for the segment.
Yeah, it was wild, man. It was good stuff.
It was kind of all over the place. Thought I was just going to ask him a question and get him ready for a show, and kind of just snowballed.
No, that's kind of how Craig Carton works, my man.
Yeah.
Nothing?
You a big fan or something?
I mean, I've worked with him in the past.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Couple things for you, Jake. The announcement I was going to make, HBO just announced that Canelo Alvarez Triple G 2 will take place on the old Floyd Mayweather Day of Cinco de Mayo. So we got an awesome fight that we saw last year. We'll get to see it again come in May.
Yeah, that's one of the few fights that I get. You know, boxing, I just don't generally watch anymore. I used to be way back in the day with like the Evander Holyfield days and Mike Tyson, obviously, and biting his ear off and all that type of stuff. And there was a few years even after that where I was still pretty invested into it. But at this point, this is really all I care about. I'll probably try and catch some people to either get together or maybe go to a sports bar or something. But I actually am interested in this one, especially because I don't think the first one should have been a draw anyway.
Yeah, I remember I was actually away with family that weekend. And I remember we had gone to a bar earlier. And then at like midnight or 12:30 or whatnot, I remember we went back to our room. And I was like, oh my God, this fight is on. And I watched it on my phone. It's rare that I ever care about a boxing fight, but that was one I cared about. And Cinco de Mayo, I'll find a way to watch it again because it's awesome. Like, that was an awesome fight. And I'm excited to watch it again.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely something that should draw a very heavy crowd, probably like second right behind Mayweather at this point.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, that fact. So I'm excited to see that. The other big story, we've been talking about it all morning. I'm sure you'll talk about it next on The Frenzy. You'll certainly get to it on Target this afternoon. And that is that Blake Griffin traded last night to Detroit for first-round pick, second-round pick. Avery Bradley headed over there. Tobias Harris heads over to L.A. Wild trade out of nowhere. Blake finally commented on it this morning after needing a night to process it, as he put. And he said, quote, this, Jake. He said, needed a night to digest and reflect on what happened. From being the number one pick to Lob City to six straight playoff appearances, I am so proud to have been part of the success of the Clippers organization. L.A. has been my home since I started in the league, and I will be forever grateful to the city for embracing me and supporting me. To the fans, you have been awesome every step of the way. Thank you for your years of support. Now I'm ready for the next chapter, getting to work and helping the Detroit Pistons make a run in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and so as I texted my buddy who's from Detroit and a Pistons fan, he can bitch and moan on your team now.
Ooh. What are your thoughts on this trade from a basketball perspective for both of these teams, LA and Detroit?
That you're asking the wrong person. I just know from what I've read, because from what I read, it sounded like the Clippers got a great deal. But when I first look at it, this is why I said, like, I'm probably not the best person, because at first glance, I looked at what the Clippers are getting back. I was like, really? That's what you're getting for Blake Griffin? I understand there's picks involved, but apparently this is more about future ability and flexibility with the roster to go after the big names to potentially get to at this point with everything that's coming up with the free agency next year. So I understand it from that aspect of it, but also that means the Clippers have to shed more, and DeAndre Jordan is probably the next one out the door. Lou Williams is out the door, so they're in full rebuild mode. The Pistons, yeah, why not? I just don't think anything matters in the East except for the Celtics and for the Cavaliers.
Probably not, but listen, the Pistons want to be mediocre, and they want an opportunity to at least get to the playoffs.
See, I hate mediocre. You know, I'm a Bulls fan. I hate the 7th, 8th seed. Either be great or rebuild and try to figure out how to be great. Stop with this mediocre nonsense.
Say what you want, but the Bulls are the right thing with Jimmy Butler, trading him for the right package, and the Bulls, they have a future now.
Yep, absolutely.
Totally. Hey, Jake, more on the NBA and more on everything on the Frenzy. That comes your way next. For Matt Mojica and Jake Seeley, Corey Parson, Don Burns, Chris Ventura, and Kevin Wall downstairs, my name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We will see you tomorrow.